This morning's message is brought to us by Pastor Thome.
I'm in the book of Luke today, the 22nd chapter, and we're going to start in verse 31. I'm going to look it up too, so that I have a tendency to get way ahead of folks, and I don't give people time to look it up themselves. So I'm going to look it up. I could put my markers in there and everything, you know. The 22nd chapter is a very long chapter, but in the 22nd chapter, starting in verse 31, and the Lord said, and this is what one thing that I like about it, when the Lord says something, we ought to set up and take notice. Amen? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now I want you to look at this a little bit with me today. How does Satan sift us? You know, there are some folks that have the idea today that Satan is just some dumb demon running around. How many know that Satan is not dumb? Amen? He's the second most intelligent being on the face of the earth. He is not dumb. He is dumb in that he tried to have his seat higher than the Lord. Amen? And he got cast out of heaven for that. And the Bible says that he was cast down to the earth. As lightning comes from the sky. How many know when you get cast down to the earth like that, you got threw out? Amen? Well, he got cast out. The Bible says that. And so you and I, as Christians today, we have an adversary. Whether you like it or not, or whether we like it or not, we have an adversary on this earth. Most of us would say, well, you know, it's either one political party or the other. That's our adversary. No, our adversary is Satan. The Bible says that. Brothers and sisters, we can argue and, you know, whatever we want to do, but always remember, whatever is behind it, it is Satan. That talking about the evil. We need to understand that. We have an adversary, and he desires to sift us like wheat. What does it mean to sift? You know, some of us would say, well, you know, we live in a farming community, and most of us know that for the sifting of wheat means that you find impurities in there. Amen? And they take it out. Now, I'm not a farmer, so if I'm saying something wrong, you got to step up and say something today. Amen? But how many would know that these impurities that are things that are wrong? And a lot of us as Christians today, we would like to say that we're perfect and upright in every way. But brothers and sisters, we in our land today are facing an identity crisis. In other words, we need to decide who and what we serve in this land. And I want to bring to your attention today that those that would say that we can live any way we want to and walk any way we want to are in for a real tough life. We need the blessings of God in this land today. I will guarantee you, brothers and sisters, that as a Christian and in this land, we may have it tough, but life without God is a lot tougher. Amen. I want to come to you today and I want to bring to your attention several things. Number one is that the sifting process is not so that he can isolate you. It is so that he can figure out a way that he can get you to denounce your Christian faith. He wants to get you into such a place, such a fight, such an argument, such whatever. We can go on and on and on about it. But brothers and sisters, the sifting of Satan is going on every single day. There are many, many, I have talked with many Christians today that say, well, you know, It seems like everywhere I go, I get in a big argument or a big fight about something. It's the same thing. You know, the same thing. Somebody or someone is trying to always, I'm always in an area of controversy. You're being sifted. This is part of what I'm saying to you today about, the ways the fatherless generation. If you don't like the way things are now, go ahead and live like the world and you will see what it takes to be tough in the land then. Brothers and sisters, you and I as a Christian today have to realize that our adversary is alive and well. He's trying to steal your children, your grandchildren. He wants to steal your wife, your family, everything that is good for you. That's what he's after. He knows that he has a limited time on this earth. He knows that if he can get you to stay in an uproar most of your life, you are not going to accomplish as much for the kingdom. He knows that. In Norman County today, I'm going to pick on Norman County. We're in Polk County now. Amen. But I'm going to pick on Norman County. In Norman County, it seems like we can't agree on anything. You know, we can be on one side of the issue or the other side of the issue. How many know that in our land today, you do not mess with a man's wife or his water? I'll tell you what, you mess with water, you are in for something. Amen. And I'm saying this with humor because, you know, it's a fact of life. Amen. We have all kinds of issues when it comes to renting land and so forth and so on. Brothers and sisters, all the controversy that we're talking about is a sifting process. How do you handle that? We need to learn how to handle it according to God, because we are going to hand that down to our children. We overcome. You know, I've had people tell me, well, you don't need to be doing that. You know, you don't need to do anything about that. Oh, yes, I do. You know, folks used to say, well, you just need to ignore them. No, I don't ignore it anymore. If you're going to be around an old German, why, I will tell you what's on my mind. Amen. You don't have to agree with me. But I will tell you this much, that if you're right, I'm going to stand up and tell you that you're right. I'm going to stand on the side of righteousness. I'm going to stand on the side of what God says is good and right and holy in our land today. I'm going to stand on the side of marriage, and I'm going to stand on the side of those that have served our country honorably. I'm going to stand with them. Not because I want to be a do-gooder. I'm standing here because those folks, brothers and sisters, have fought the battle. They have fought the lion. They have fought the bear. And they have come out the end. We need to emphasize that today, brothers and sisters. The sifting that is going on in the land between husband and wife needs to be found out and put a stop to it. I want to talk to men a little bit here right now. I talk to everybody, but I talk to men. I like being around men. I like men that are not afraid to share what's on their mind and say what's what. Amen? But men, we need to recognize Satan and put him in his place in our family. Amen. You are the leader, at least when our wives let us. Amen. I say that because, you know, and by the way, brothers and sisters, your wife is supposed to have something to say about it. I know that's not popular, but she is a wife. She is not a doormat, and I find that my wife has a whole lot more insight in some areas than I ever dream of. Amen? But I want to encourage you as men today that we need to start standing up, and this is not going to happen in my house. This is not going to happen on my turf, so to speak, my house. It amazes me that folks today want to come into my yard and sit in my yard and drink beer. No, that's not going to happen. The road is right there. Put it away and we'll have fun and talk, but you know what I'm saying. Brothers and sisters, you and I as men and as leaders in our community, we cannot allow things that are contrary to God and what we believe to happen right in our own yard. Amen? I'm just saying that, you know. I'll find somebody that agrees with me. You know. I just want, you know, it's the sifting that is going on is getting to a place where we allow almost anything to happen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, sickness comes in and we say all kinds of things. You know, people say, just like they did with Job, you know, well, what did you do, Job, that you got sick? Well, Satan sifted him. That's what he did. The Bible says that he walked back and forth on the face of the earth and he couldn't find it. And so he came to God and he said, God, Job will curse you and die if you take your hands off of me. How many know that Job didn't? Job stayed strong with God. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying that sickness is something that we should be looking at, but brothers and sisters, never ever underestimate Satan. He has a way of sifting the lamb. He has a way of taking away those things that are good and right if he can. But you and I that sit in the house of God, we can point our finger right at him and keep him out of our house. We can keep him out of our church. We can keep him out of our land. We can keep him out of our community. We can keep him out of our schools. We can keep him out of there because of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb that we sang about today. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters. We need to stand up. Mom and Dad together, we're going to stand up and we're going to... This is not happening in our house. We are not going to allow division to come in. Amen. How many know we need to be fighting for our families? We need to fight for those that are doing things right. Amen. I'll never forget this. This is a number of years ago, but I was I worked as a carpenter and I was out building buildings. You know, we built buildings. Lots of big shops and so forth like that. But I came to this, we came on this fellow's farm and his neighbor down the road, I don't know how far exactly away he was, but they were great friends, you know, and they were rejoicing. They had this nice big shop and so forth and so on. And anyway, somebody managed to back into an overhead door. How many know that that happens? But somebody managed to back into it, and so they gave me a call, and would you come out and fix this door? And so I came out there, and I'm working on the door, and I'm telling them, you know, well, we got to replace this panel, and so forth, and so on. And anyway, I mentioned to him, this other fellow, I said, when's he going to come around here? He better not come on my place. Wow. You know, I said, well, you know, you guys were the best of friends. Yeah, but he rented some land that I had. You know, brothers and sisters, all those years of living together and they threw it out over a piece of land that Satan wanted to sift. You see, sifting process causes us to do things that we never normally would do. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need to recognize that. And it's the same way when it comes to our families, husbands and wives. Man, if Satan can get in between you and your wife, you are in for a long haul. But you see, we say, well, you know, it's just because she's stubborn. I've never seen any guys that are stubborn, have you? I realize I could get in trouble here on this. But the point that I wanted to bring to you is that, man, I'm telling you, as a husband and as a father, that we need to be thankful for our wives. Amen. Not that she's right all the time, but because God put us together, and together we can win this battle called life. Amen. Satan has come. I've got 10 things here that I want to share with you. And if you're writing them down, you might need to remind me. Then these are things that Satan uses to sift us. Number one is people, friends, and association. Satan will try to get you to have issues with these, you know, friends. A lot of us would say, well, you know, I used to have friends. How many have had friends for 50 years? You know, friends. This is one of the ways that Satan wants to bring us to a place where he can sift you. Amen. Amen. I had one fellow say, well, if what you're saying is true, then we're all going to be running around saying Satan's all this and all that. No, we are to have authority over him. Amen. Not everything that goes on in this world is put on by Satan. God is the creator. Satan isn't. Amen. Our God is greater than anything that Satan ever brought up. Now, the second thing I have down here is worldliness, lust, wants. People want to, you know, I just want to do what I want to do. Who wants to go to church? Who wants to spend time in the house? Who wants to hear what God has to say? You know, we can go on and on and on about it. My goodness, some of the clothes that we wear. I shouldn't say we, but you know what I'm saying. It's a sifting. You know, we say, well, you know, everybody's doing it. Well, the third thing is discouragement. If Satan can discourage you, you're in for a long road to hoe. Brothers and sisters, discouragement is a battle that each one of us needs to fight, and we are going to fight. And brothers and sisters, if he can get you discouraged, you're going to have troubles. It's called sifting. Fourth thing is hurt feelings. Nobody's ever had them. You know, hurt feelings. We get our feelings hurt over most anything. I didn't get invited. You know. Or I got invited, but, you know, they really didn't want me anyway. You know, we can go on and on and on. Brothers and sisters, do not allow Satan to get your feelings hurt over everything that comes along. People do things. People are people. We ought to be able to go to them and say, hey, you know, I don't know if this was quite appropriate. But let's pay attention to that. Hurt feelings. The next one is we didn't get our own way. Amen. I got grandkids. Beautiful grandkids. Wonderful grandkids. I just love my grandkids. But you know, the youngest one, if he don't get his way, he's pretty upset about that. Amen. Age is supposed to have its privileges. But he thinks grandpa is there just so we can go and raid the candy jar. Amen. We need to understand that you know, we're not going to get our way in life. I don't get to do what I want to do. You know, a lot of folks would say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, when I got called into the ministry, nobody had ever spoken to me about Jesus, by the way, till I ran into my wife. And she witness to me. She said, if you're going to see me, you're going to get born again. I had never run into a lady before that said anything like that. So I said, well, that's all right then. I'm going to, you know. And I met Jesus. And I mean to tell you what, I knew that there was a God. Amen. And so, that changed everything for me. A lot of us as Christians, you know, as we go through life, we say, well, you know, what's going on? What's happening? What is, you know, you don't get your own way. We're disappointed. When I was called, I was busy helping in the church that I was in. I was doing the sound system and so forth and so on. That's where I was. Happy. I set up chairs, take down chairs, set, you know, whatever. I'm happy. And so this preacher come in, walked by me, turned around and he looked at me. She turned around and looked at me and she said, are you the pastor? No. I'm not the pastor. I have no intention of being the pastor. I don't even want to get up in front and talk. I'll set up chairs. And I said, no, I don't want... I'm not the pastor. And she pointed her finger at me and she said, you will be. And I thought, oh, you have got to be kidding. You missed it, lady. All the way through school, you couldn't get me to make a speech. I am not getting up in front talking to people. No how! But you know, the Holy Ghost got over a hold of me. The Spirit of God got a hold of me. And whether I wanted to preach or not, look at what happened to me. And you want to know something else? I love it. Amen. I love to preach. I love to be under the anointing. I love to be in the house of God. I love to be around those things. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand that we don't want to get disappointed with God. That's the next one, brothers. It's called being disappointed with God. When I became a Christian, I didn't get my own way. Being disappointed with God is another part. Well, nothing ever happens. Did you know that He's new every day? Did you know that God wants to talk to you? I go out and pick my raspberries, you know, about 5:30 in the morning. I have to get out there, otherwise the robins get the best ones. And I get out there and I pick my raspberries and I sit there in the garden and I talk to God. Brothers and sisters, we... as Christians today, need to realize that if your walk with God is not quite the way you wanted it, you need to do something about that. And I want to pray with you to help you. I need to keep going here so I get this done. The next one is offense. I'm going to pick up an offense real easy. You know, I have an electric fence around my place. I have it there to keep my cattle in, you know, and every once in a while my fencer quits working. And it seems like every time that I got to work on my fence, I have to test it out. And I guarantee you I got both eyes open after that. But you know, we get offended and say, well, I'm never going to do that again. Guess what I do the next time I'm out there? I'm doing something, you know. Bend over to pull the weeds out from under it and crack. Never going to do that again, you know. We get offended. Brothers and sisters, we cannot allow that. We can't allow our families, our loved ones, and people have told me, well, you don't know them. Yes, I know. I come from a family of 8 of us kids, and my goodness, do we got issues. We're not going there. We're going to go someplace else. Amen. The next one is weariness and battle fatigue. We said, I'm just sick and tired of nobody coming and helping. I'm just sick and tired of nobody helping with the children. I'm just sick and tired of, you know, it seems like no matter what I do or where I go, I got to pick up your coffee cup that's in the front room. You know, weariness. Amen. Well, why do we even go to church anyway? Because, you know, there's nobody new there anyhow. Or you just got a white-haired old preacher up there. We need to understand it. Brothers and sisters, you cannot allow weariness to overcome you. Now, I'm up there in age. I can't do what I used to do. There's a lot of things that I just look at that I used to do, and I say, nah, I'm going to go hire somebody to do that. But you know what, brothers and sisters, weariness cannot be, especially when we're talking about family and the things of God. You can't let it go. You can't let it continue. Amen? We need to get a hold of that. Here's the next one. Money. How many have had any issues with money? I go with my wife into the grocery store, you know, and she goes and buys. You know, my wife is the greatest shopper that there is, as far as she will get the stuff that's good for you. Amen. And I've gotten old enough to really enjoy it. I love a real good salad now. Amen. I like my meat, but I like a real good salad too. So, amen. But anyway, money. You can get more money, but you can't get more family. You can't get more friends. You can't get your neighbors. You can't. You know what I'm saying? But you can get more money. The last one is you turn your ears from the truth. I put this in there, and the last one is because it seems like, brothers and sisters, you and I, we have to pay attention to the truth. We have to pay attention to what's written in the Bible. We have to pay attention to the strength and the goodness that is in the Bible. We need to hear it. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a home and they go and get the Bible and it's got about three creases in it. This is what I believe and argue about. Come on. God is bigger than three. We need to have a place. We got to let God speak to us. You got to get some white-haired old preachers in here to say some things that maybe you didn't want to hear, but at the, you know, you still need to hear them. And brothers and sisters, God wants to speak to you no matter what your age is. He wants to talk to you. He wants to help you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to bring us to a place where we can overcome and we can have a place where there is peace in my house. There's peace in my neighborhood. There's peace in my community. There's peace in our county. There's peace in our state, and there's peace even in Washington, D.C. How many know we need to be praying for them folks? Amen? That's all I'm going to say on that. I'm sick and tired of politics. But I will tell you this, brothers and sisters, that we need to be walking with God.